Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the No Grow Follow podcast. I'm Jay.
And I'm Adam.
And we're here today to talk about culture, church, millennials, Gen Xers, theology, the weather.
Just about everything.
Whatever has to come up. Today, we're on location. We're recording our podcast from the sound booth, the AV booth, in our church, where we've spent all day pulling wires and running new wires and installing new computers and screens and all kinds of stuff.
Yes, yeah, so we've been the AV in the booth. The technology has been absolutely antiquated, and that was like 5 years ago. So like stuff in here is like dinosaur age. So we've been working on it. We got a new computer, we got new monitors, we got all that stuff, and man, was it a mess.
It was kind of a mess, but we took care of it.
Yes. Right?
So here's my question from my Gen X perspective to a millennial perspective. As my millennial mentor, I have a question.
Yes.
Are you ready? How does a millennial feel about ownership? Because it seems from my perspective that millennials are consumers of lots of things and not necessarily creators of lots of things. But once you, as a consumer, do you own it? What happens if you use it? Do you hear what I'm saying?
So are you, in regards to what?
Yeah, so let me give you a good example. So I'm thinking about a time when I was in seminary and there was, somebody had a new idea. Okay, for a new way they should do this class, right?
Yes.
And so the seminary said, yes, we want to embrace change. We want to do the new idea. At the same time, the seminary, who also had a hard time getting rid of tradition, wanted to keep the old thing. So now you've got the old thing and you've got the new thing, and they're sort of cobbled together. So I saw that from the boomer perspective as a love or respect or an adoration or an homage of tradition. Right?
Yeah.
Who was not able to then get rid of the old thing, disown it, when they owned the new thing, the new project. The reason I'm asking also is because we're in the AV booth. And we can see as we're in the AV booth sort of the epochs of who was here, who were the volunteers in charge, who had ownership of prior technology, and this is the way they did it, and then they may not be here anymore, and the next sort of ownership of epoch came here as volunteers, and they made some changes but not others, and so there were like old cables that were still routed that had nothing on the ends. And now today, as we were putting it together, you know, I could see you take ownership in the work you've done and the way the changes that you've made, right? So how does that work for a millennial?
Okay, so we look back and we see, from the way we view it, the mentality that we see a lot of people that are older than us have is, we'll make it work, or it will work, not, hey, let's rebuild.
Okay, say that again.
So there's more of the we'll make it work mentality.
Okay, take what you've got, upcycle, recycle, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of taking it and rebuilding it from scratch.
Okay.
See, that's what a lot of millennials will do. They will, you talk about making it your own. Well, to make it your own, and this is very important to people my age,
sure,
is to build it from dirt.
From scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, for example, when I came in here and I laid out the plan for the AV booth, I was like, we need to buy this computer. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of all this stuff that's useless to us.
Yeah.
We need to fix it, and then we need to set up this setup and make sure everything works correctly.
Sure.
And that's exactly what we did. Okay. And we are sure there's stuff that's still not fixed that we need to work on.
Right.
But we're in the process of creating a new foundation.
You know, I think that makes sense to me. That as I watch millennials solve problems of the world, the election, environment, global warming, whatever the topic may be, I see young people, your age folks, saying, thinking outside the box and creating a totally new way to handle what's going on rather than adapting or molding or changing the old way.
So this is honestly what we want. Okay. And like if you talk to millennials, they'll say in general this topic.
Yeah.
We don't want change. We want a completely new foundation to build off of. Because what we're building off of is the Leaning Tower of Giza.
Pisa.
Yeah. Yes. Leaning Tower of Pisa. Because it is... right now, it's like duct taped together, and that's how society is right now. Whether it be the church, whether it be like government, whether it be anything, it feels like it's duct taped together.
Sure.
What we want is a new foundation, and to build it from the ground up.
Yeah.
Now, sure, we have tradition, we have this, we have that, we have this, but is it really helpful to have those?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have always known it this way.
Sure.
Have you ever tried it the other way?
Well, no, because that way it worked.
How would you know it's better?
So you need to know that I'm not your typical Gen Xer, that I would consider myself a pragmatist. So I don't care how we do it, so long as it works.
It gets done.
Yep. And for me, the first step in that, Adam, is to define the purpose, right? Why are we doing the thing?
Yes.
Are we... You know, there's a story of an economist, I don't exactly know, and he went to some third world country where the government was providing jobs for people. And so he went to this farm, and all of these laborers were there, and they got a shovel, and they started to dig in the ground because they were going to plant some crops. And the guy said, how come you don't use tractors, right? And the man who was in charge said, well, the purpose isn't to grow the food. The purpose is to have jobs for the people. So if we need more people who have more shovels to do the work than if we had one guy with a tractor, okay? And so the economist stood there and looked at it for a while, and he turned back to the guy and he said, "So why do you give them shovels, right?"
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. As the pragmatist, if the idea is just keep people busy doing this thing, then why would you give them the shovels? It's going to take longer. It's going to take more people. But by identifying the purpose, that the purpose wasn't to raise the food, the purpose was to you know what I'm saying, to the people, now you can come up with a solution, a pragmatic solution, to solve that problem, that purpose.
So let's loop this back and let's bring it back to the church.
Perfect.
So let's say that, what do you think of when you think of the church?
I think of a group of people who are worshiping God together and living that out in community.
I don't see that.
Yeah.
As a person that has looked from the outside in on church.
Yeah.
And not the inside out.
Okay.
So you have to kind of look at it from a third point of view.
I'm totally an insider.
Yes.
I know that.
So you, it's more along the lines of what the church is supposed to be, is like the no grow follow mechanic.
Yeah.
What we see it is a like a click.
An organization
that takes your money and sometimes does good with it.
Sure.
Sometimes. And then a lot of times it's like it's a duct tape together in ways.
Yeah.
So they have pieces and parts that are stuck onto it.
Yeah.
And like, so let's, I went to this Presbyterian.
Okay, yeah.
It was in Mississippi, and there was a huge hand that was sticking in the sky that was golden.
You talked about this.
So, in it, there was a... in it, there was the song that we sung every single week.
Okay.
And with that song, like, why didn't we sing something else?
Yeah.
And it's because of tradition. Now, has it ever been different?
What was the song?
The Leal Apatri or some...
It was in Latin?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It was. I think it went something along the line, like, glory to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Sure, yeah.
As is, now, will be forever.
Yeah.
I think it's called Gloria Patri.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Okay, but...
dun, dun, da, 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 da.
Yes,
da,
yes.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, okay,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that uh-huh. That exact song. So we sung it every week. But... Why isn't it different? So what I'm asking is, with culture, because we're about to go through a huge foundation rebuilding.
Yep, we're going to do something totally different.
Huge foundation rebuilding that's about to occur.
Yeah.
Can the church pick up its feet and stop dragging its feet and start to rebuild from the ground up? and like just abandon this tower that's falling over, that's duct tape, that says Gump, that's all MacGyvered together.
So I totally get that, right?
Okay.
So here's my question. What is the purpose of what we do here?
The purpose.
Right. So my question, like really what I'm saying is, do we need to rebuild the church? Or are we talking about a life of faith? Are we talking about being Jesus followers? Really, what's the point?
Okay, so this is the point of church.
Okay.
And this is what I've always thought church was. Church is to know God, mm-hmm. to live a life of God,
okay.
to make others more comfortable regardless of situation.
Okay, welcome the stranger.
Welcome the stranger.
Okay.
And proliferate.
Okay.
Those are...
Yeah, proselytize, grow.
Yes.
Yeah, to share.
That's why I honestly think of the church.
Yeah.
So even if, okay, we're going to take this out and we're going to look at it from like an outside church perspective.
Yes.
Even if you do not believe God is real.
Okay.
Lots of people do.
Yeah.
What should your view of church be?
Right.
And it, like, even if a church should also be welcoming to those that.
Yeah.
That. Don't know God.
Right.
Don't want to know God.
Right.
Like, you don't have to believe in God to come to church.
Totally.
But the thing is that if you don't believe in God and you come to church, you should still be welcome. You should still be able to make people smile. You should still be able to do that.
I am absolutely agreeing with you. I'm absolutely agreeing with all that. But did Jesus tell us to build a church? I mean, Jesus said to Peter, upon you I will build, you're my rock, I'll build my economy, my ecclesia, my gathering of people, right? But never did Jesus say that we needed to create this institution, right?
Okay.
Jesus said, go ye therefore all of you into all nations, baptizing and teaching in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, right? And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul.
Okay.
Right? So, we love our neighbors, and we love God, and we go out and make that proclamation, and we teach and we baptize. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission.
That's it.
Right. Do we need this building to do that?
You do not. So.
Do we need an AV booth? I mean, we spend all morning, we're updating computers right now and buying stuff right now. You know, so what's the purpose of that gets us to accomplish the purpose of what faith is about?
Okay, the problem that we have right now is proliferation.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we are making it more attractive.
Okay.
And the people we're making it more attractive to right now, let's be honest, it may not be the people that we should be attracting more.
Okay.
But that being said, we hope and pray and cross our fingers that one of these days that's going to change.
Yeah.
But for that to change, what we were just talking about, the Leaning Tower needs to be abandoned.
Sure.
So
deconstructed.
But doesn't even need to be deconstructed. They could be a project in the future.
Yeah.
But it needs a new foundation.
Yeah. So, with the question being, refoundation, rebuilding, whatever.
Yes.
Are we on the right track?
No.
Okay. So if the let's identify the purpose. If the purpose is to make new Jesus followers,
yes,
right, help create new Jesus followers, meet the needs of their neighbor,
yes,
right. If that's the purpose, we spend a lot of time in the church,
yes,
organization and structure, making sure that the people who are here feel super comfortable, and there's not a lot of risk. Where I would say that going out there to be evangelist, to serve the need of the neighbor, is more about loving the neighbor and getting out there and taking some risks than it is about staying here and making it comfortable for the people who are here.
I don't think church is made to feel comfortable.
Right.
I think it should feel slightly uncomfortable.
I think you're right.
But, that being said, it should feel at home, even if slightly uncomfortable.
So let me ask you this. Because I think this is a question I've had throughout my ministry.
Okay. Right?
Is that people start out, and I don't mean these terms pejoratively, as baby Christians, and as they grow in faith and they study scripture and they worship more together with the community and they hear more the Bible and they grow into a life of faith, they get more mature as Christians.
Yes. Right?
They grow as Christians. I think it's important for the the church, the congregation, this particular place, right, to be welcoming to both mature Christians and baby Christians,
uh-huh.
right? But we know that the baby Christians might have more fleshy needs, might have more worldly needs. And so if you're a mature Christian, right, and you go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and the piano player isn't very good, you might be mature enough to be cool with, I'm worshiping Jesus, she's leading in a way that's really helpful, I appreciate her gifts and talents that she wants to share with the community. But if you're a baby Christian and you come to church for the first time and the piano player is not good, you might not come back a second time.
You're thinking of it in the wrong way.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so you're thinking of it, you're still thinking of it now.
Yeah, I'm still in the model.
You're still in the current model.
Yeah, get me out of the model.
Okay, so, for example, a couple weeks ago, the Catholic Church shocked the world.
Mm-hmm.
They went along the lines of saying gay marriage is okay.
Yeah, the Pope did.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
a start.
Yeah.
So
we've been saying that in this church for years.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
But have we proclaimed on national news that it's okay to do this? Not quite.
No.
Because, like, there's so much hate, so much everything that came from just that.
Yeah.
But I think they see the light at the end of the tunnel. They see, like, oh, this is what's going to happen, and eventually we're going to crumble.
Yeah.
So we have to, it shouldn't be about how good the pianist is.
It shouldn't
be about that. And like you're talking about baby Christians,
yeah.
and like I agree with that. But those baby Christians are more important in the congregation than the other people, because the baby Christians, we need to ask them the questions.
Absolutely,
we don't need to be asking these members that have been here for 10 years how like.
Yes.
Okay, so.
You're exactly right. And the baby Christians have more friends who aren't going to church anywhere.
Exactly.
The people who come to church and the church has become their social group and their country club or whatever, and they see the same people week after week.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of non-Christian friends.
I don't have any friends that go to this church.
Yeah. You. So,
except like you
so how
and...
does... So here I'm still in the box. So my question was going to be, so how do we get you to bring your friends here?
I've tried.
But I don't think that that's the purpose.
Yeah, well,
I think the purpose of church is different than that.
That's why we need a new foundation.
Right.
Because the people that want to come to the church, like my friends, that want to come to church, and we talked about this before on the podcast, it's not safe for them to come because of the current foundation, the current views, and the current traditional belief system of the people.
Yeah.
Now, we need to recycle, reuse, or get rid of this.
Now, let me just, full disclosure, tip my cards and say, I am a professional church person. Right?
Okay.
I went to 13 years of kindergarten to high school. I went to 4 years of undergrad. I did 4 years to do my master's. I had 5 years to do my doctorate. I am invested. Right? My kids' braces get paid for because I work at the church.
Yes.
Right? And so for me to say the church is not necessary to make new Christians, to build new Christians, is a little bit like saying, hey, I don't really want a job. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think the church is necessary to build new Christians.
Okay. So I think I heard this a long time ago. There's 2 points I want to bring up.
Yeah.
The church has 3 main points.
Okay, I'm ready.
Church.
Okay.
Going to church, attending.
Worship.
Worship.
Yeah.
That's one.
Okay.
The next one is praise.
Okay.
Like, you need to, like, proclaim the love, and the next one is prayer.
Okay.
You need... Now, you can have, effectively, do 2 of those, or even 1 of those...
Yeah.
And there's one that's always optional.
Okay.
And that's church.
Church.
So if you sit at home and...
Oh, yeah. Come on.
If you sit at home and you pray to God and you are like... And like if somebody asks you, do you believe in God?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That you're a Christian. I mean, you don't. You could, that's any faith.
Sure.
Like that is That's true. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian, but you are. What you literally just did is you're a believer in God.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. Like, I heard this. I've heard this as a pastor. I hear this all the time.
Okay.
Pastor, I don't need to be in church on Sunday. I can worship God on the golf course. Or I'd rather be, it would be better for me to be in the fishing boat thinking about God than for me to be in the church thinking about being in the fishing boat. Right? I've heard it 100 million times from people. And my question is always, but do you? Like, the reason I need a community of faith, Adam, is so I know that on Sunday mornings I'm going to be here. And I know we're going to sing the songs. And I know that somebody has picked the verses. And somebody's going to preach a sermon. And somebody's going to give me communion. And I do that. On the few Sundays I take vacation, my whole week is wrecked. Because I don't spend an hour on Sunday morning by myself reading scripture or in prayer or listening to Christian radio. Yeah. And so there's something about the community needs some organization.
So
I don't know if that means we need a $500,000 building. But certainly I know that the Christian community needs a regular time to gather together.
Okay. What you just said makes me think. The church has been trying and telling people that have been following that model to proclaim themselves as Christians and stay out, go fishing, stay home, that they need to come to church and pushing them away from church. Yeah. Is that what the church has been doing?
I think the church has been saying, you have to come, but we're giving you no reason, no good reason to be here. Like,
okay,
like, so you're going to come here out of obligation, not out of any kind of growth.
Let me tell you something that a millennial will do if you tell them to do something. Yes. They will give you the middle finger, and they will say no.
Yeah. I don't blame them.
Yeah, I come to church because I enjoy church.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of people don't enjoy church, and I don't mind them not coming to church. But, that being said, for those people that come to church, that's fantastic. Come to church, worship with us, like, have a fun time, enjoy yourself. It's like a party every Sunday.
I think so.
But, if you look at it, if you read the Bible, how many times did the disciples go to church?
No, they sat at the synagogue, they went to the temple, but it never talks about them worshiping.
It never talks about them worshiping.
They're always in fellowship.
They're always. Mm-hmm. Always with proclaiming the word,
yes.
Knowing, so know, grow, follow. Yeah. That's what they did.
So my friend Jared, right? Coolest dude, right? He's got an idea for a church. This is his idea for a church. We're going to get together on Friday and we're going to, okay? Maybe somebody has a Bible reading. Maybe somebody has a little sermon. Somebody says, share something about how they grew in faith during the week, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of whatever their dinner, there's a list of these are people in our community who need some help this week. Maybe Martha needs her new computer set up, right? Or maybe Joe needs some blue tarp stapled to his roof. Or maybe Ellen needs help changing a tire or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Jarrett's going to collect these things every week of these things to do. And at the end of the eating and the discussion, they're going to pass around the list. And somebody like you is going to say, oh, I can go set up Martha's computer, or I can go set up Alan's break job, or I can go do whatever, and then you're going to go do it.
That seems like a church for the future.
That's church, man.
That seems like what church is going to be.
Yeah.
If the foundation is that okay, so there's two options.
Yeah.
If the foundation works through, that may be what the new church looks like.
Yeah.
Or if the church fails, that's what the church may turn into.
Sure.
But that's what we need. That's the type of church that seems super interesting to people my age. Super interesting. Yeah. But people just don't do that.
Because it's so outside the box.
Right? And?
And know who's going to pay Jared. I mean, those are the two questions, right? Because if you find a volunteer, this takes us all the way back to ownership.
Okay.
And a volunteer says, you know what, I'm going to do this in my neighborhood. I'm going to start my own Pine Creek. I live in Pine Creek subdivision. I'm going to start Pine Creek Love Jesus. Right? I don't even want to call it a church. And we're going to get together on Fridays. We're going to eat at my house or in my driveway or whatever. And then we're going to have a list. And I'm going to find people in the neighborhood or the community who need help. And da-da-da, we're going to do that. I'm going to have the energy to do that for a little while. Right? Because it's going to be a lot of work to find out that Martha needs a new computer. And that somebody needs a break job. And somebody's going to say they're going to go fix Martha's computer, and they're not going to go fix Martha's computer, and now Martha's going to be mad, and somebody's going to have to talk to Martha and talk her down and try to find somebody else who can go fix Martha's computer. I'm just saying there's an organizational piece.
Right? Yes.
And that as a volunteer leader, that's hard.
It is.
As a paid person to do that, now you and everybody else, your millennial friends, who comes to just have dinner and do this service project, also needs to donate, like give charitably, to help fund the guy who's or gal who's putting the structure. And how quickly, dude, how quickly can you imagine that that will go from being in the house to now I don't want to have it in my house because we've got too many people, and so-and-so wore their muddy boots and ruined my carpet, and so now we're going to rent a space in a strip mall, and now we got a strip mall, but now we got rent, and we don't need to buy chairs. And pretty soon, the church has that structure and the organization. That means there needs to be a meeting because somebody has to put together a budget. And all of a sudden, the purpose of spread the love of Jesus to your neighbor got lost in a two-hour budget meeting.
Okay, so church shouldn't be... The only meeting I've ever heard about at church is budget meetings.
Right.
So, because
it's
church shouldn't, like, I understand it's a huge part of church, but listen, like, it, if millennials, we all give money, but millennials, like, a lot of millennials like to save their money.
Sure.
Millennials will give money. It's not about... It's not about whether or not a church like that will work or not work or fail or survive.
Yeah.
It's about if that church will prosper in its people. So, back in the day, pastors used to be their second job.
A long time ago.
Long time ago.
There's been a professional clergy class since the year 700.
Yes.
I mean, this is the way we've always done church. I mean, there are bivocational pastors, and there are circuit riders and make, you know, tent makers and volunteer lay evangelists who do this. But that model is rare. And the reason it's rare is because it doesn't maintain its longevity.
Yeah.
Because it's really stinking hard.
It is extremely hard.
Yeah.
But life is extremely hard.
Life is extremely
hard. So what I'm saying, and you might hate me for this, but what I'm saying is... Churches might not be just church come in a few years.
Oh, I think
these pastors are going to have more than just, I'm a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you're going to be a pastor, a...
personal trainer, a golf instructor, an accountant.
I was leaning more of the lines toward like a principal of a school.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because at the church that we are currently at, right now I'm looking at the preschool sign on the side of it.
Yeah.
So
shortly after this, Adam and I went on a crazy tangent. So let me just wrap this up and say thank you so much for listening to the No Grow Follow podcast. I'm Jay, and on behalf of Adam, keep listening. We really appreciate all of our tens of listeners. Thanks again. This is the No Grow Follow podcast.